This week on Preview, our guest is conductor Dmitry Sitkovetsky, who chatted about his time in Greensboro, his career as a conductor, and who talked to us about his upcoming concert in Greensboro on January 21st.
I would like to spend a little bit of time reflecting back on your 20 years with the Greensboro Symphony, particularly talk a little bit about your involvement in the creation of the Tanger Center.
Well, that was certainly a big project that took really, really a long time. At first, it was trying to renovate the old war memorial, which was a big barn of a place. And it was actually not a bad sound in there for such a big place. But it badly needed a renovation. And so we had these two prolonged referendums. And unfortunately, it was voted down. Almost 20 years it took looking for a permanent home and for a really first-class, fabulous home for the Greensboro Symphony. But also, as it turned out, I think it's become really a focal point of culture in the city, because now you have, of course, Broadway shows, you have Bryan series, you have high school graduation, you have all kinds of genres, which I think is very much how it should be these days, because we should not be just a separate thing. I mean, it was a different world in the 19th century where Musikverein was built in Vienna. And by the way, I'm sure Johann Strauss, that is also those famous concerts that we hear now every year on the 1st of January, actually in that very concert, in the sort of in the temple of music, we have a light music. That was a pop music at that time. At that time, actually, between Brahms and Johann Strauss, there was absolutely no conflict. They adored each other and they had great respect. And Brahms famously wrote on the Blue Danube Vals, where it says by Johann Strauss, he wrote, unfortunately, not by Johannes Brahms. You don't have to just fight your corner and oppose to everything that's called popular. Looking for a permanent home became sort of an overriding super task for everybody who cared for progress. I went through so many meetings and also made trips finding the right acoustical system. There were many, many years of searching. And then finally it happened. And then when it was about to happen, then of course, pandemic. And so it was delayed another 2 years. But finally, we have a fantastic venue. It's looking great. Now it's a question of filling it up with public, which of course been sitting at home for so long during the pandemic. Now, some of them are quite reluctant to leave homes. Nevertheless, that was one overriding task for all of us. The other thing I sort of created quite quickly, and I'm very proud of the chamber music series, which we've been doing with great help all these years of Garson Rice and of Rice Toyota. We've had some fantastic chamber music concerts. And for me, life without chamber music is just impossible to imagine, because I've been festival director of, I don't know, at least 20 different festivals all over the world. For me, chamber music, it's just something that you can't live without. Then I had many highlights. I mean, I should probably start with my dear mom, who is 94 in New York, but she came quite a few times, and it was always a mother being Bela Davidovich, of course. And it was always a big event, not only personally for me, but also musically for everyone. She became absolutely one of the most revered and favorite artists. And so she chose Greensboro as her last public performance. When my daughter, Julia, was making her debut with the Greensboro Symphony in 2011, my mother decided that that was going to be her farewell. And so she had all her friends and fans coming from all over. There's so many wonderful memories of her playing Chopin concerto or Chausson concerto for violin, piano, and string quartet and chamber music. And we did Haydn double, all kinds of things. She's a great, great artist. She doesn't know what Facebook is or what social media is, but every time I put something of hers on social media, she's a big, big star. All her fans come in and pay respect and admire her playing. Besides my mom, of course, you know, artists like the one that I mentioned, Pinky Zukerman, was always going to be a big event. And for me, I've admired Pinky for years, years. I've known him. He played actually a concert in Vienna during the 8 days of my short stay as an emigre. That was the first short stop as a Russian emigre, a Soviet emigre, I should say, in May 1977, more than 45 years ago. And I will never forget that concert. I thought that, my God, if everybody plays like that in the West, I'd better start practicing twice as much, because, I mean, it was just something out of this world. As it turned out, no, he was the only one who played like this. So for me, I've always admired his playing. For me, he was always the link, the only sort of living link, especially nowadays, to sort of the golden age of violin. There are other remarkable, not necessarily classical moments, like the Brubeck Brothers Quartet. It was a great joy to have them, also both in the symphony concert and in chamber. There were all kinds of things. And of course, you know, the Beethoven Ninth, the opening, finally, the official opening of the Tanger Center. Many, many wonderful, and so many artists, my goodness, just the pianist alone, not just last year, many acts, unforgettable. And before that, Efim Bronfman and Gary Colson and so many others. Too many memories, but I'll be remembering them even more when I'm not there.
Well, I'm sure that having you there was a huge attraction for those artists to come to Greensboro. So we're very, very fortunate to have had your guiding hand the past two decades. Thanks. I know you have a concert coming up in Greensboro.
Yes.
I think it's January 21st, and it sounds incredible. We are great fans of Sibelius' Fifth Symphony here at the station. And also you've got James Ennis playing the Beethoven Violin Concerto, I believe.
There's a lovely story with James, and the reason that I suggested a Beethoven Violin Concerto, because he told me a story. He said, listen, you might not remember, but in 1984, you came with Winnipeg Symphony. You were doing Beethoven Concerto, and your third concert was in Edmonton, Canada. He's a Canadian. I was in the audience. I was 9 years old. And that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to become a concert violinist. That performance was one of the most important of my growing up. I had no idea that he was there. He said, you signed my program. I'm sure I did, but I didn't know what was going to happen to that very, very talented young violinist. Also, we have a special surprise, because I'm bringing in for the first half, Beethoven will go in the second half, but Sibelius V will be conducted by a wonderful Ukrainian conductor, Natalia Ponomarchuk. And I'm bringing her to Greensboro. Not everybody knows, but by the time I think the program will go, it'll be a very special appearance of her. She just conducted, also shared the podium with my dear friend and colleague, Vladimir Yurovsky.
That is very exciting indeed. I can't wait to share that with our listeners. Thank you so much, Maestro.
Thank you, Naomi. I enjoyed very much talking to you.
Our guest on Preview this week has been conductor Dmitry Sitkovetsky. For more information about our programming, please visit our website, theclassicalstation.org, and thank you for your support.